This is the time when we celebrate the independence of this nation and the Declaration of Independence, one of the documents that is foundational to all that we have enjoyed in our freedoms in the history of this great land of ours. Some people think that freedom is the result of believing something so greatly that you just fight for it and you decide by force of might and force of arms that it's going to be this way. The problem with that is that only with divine supernatural intervention can people live peaceably one with another without forcing the issues of life. If you want to understand the freedoms we have enjoyed, you have to understand divine intervention through the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. People who are not self-controlled must be controlled from without. Only people who are at liberty to do what is right and to overcome that which is wrong in their lives, only those kinds of people can be foundational to a free society. Governed from within by the Spirit of God. And that can only happen when somebody comes into relationship to God by the new birth and through the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is amazing that if everyone does what they want to do, there is chaos and disorder. It's when there is a higher power in life that is at work from within, not from without, but from within, restraining from within, that it's possible for us to have true freedom. Paul said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be ensnared again to a yoke of slavery. Very interesting to me, whether you study it from the history of politics or history of nations or whether you study it from the religious standpoint, freedom is always the end product of suffering and death. Without suffering and death, we would have no freedom in this country today. And without suffering and death, this freedom will be lost. Freedom is the product of suffering and death. We have before us the emblems of suffering and death. We're singing at the cross, at the cross. That's the emblem of suffering and death. I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. These elements, the bread and the cup, are emblems of a death which delivers us with finality from sin and all of its ravages and bonds. The longer I live, the more persuaded I am that one of the worst judgments that God could ever visit on any individual or civilization is simply to abandon them to their own devices and do nothing. But God did something. He did not abandon us to our own devices. The work of the cross, the emblems of a death which delivers us from sin and all of its ravages and bonds. In this case, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of His body given in an unspeakably painful death in the judgment for our sins on the cross, the blood through which His life was poured out in death for the wages of our own personal sin. But beyond this, again, Paul makes a very important emphasis here, and especially in Romans chapter 6. The death of Christ included us. His death was a death in which we were personally delivered up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were included in that death, delivered over once and for all to the judgments of the cross. We were included because we deserved that. It was our death that He was dying, and We were there, according to the Apostle Paul, when he was judged. And this is to ensure a total and complete break with sin and all of its consequences. You know, if God had not reached down and touched my life as a teenager, I fear to even think about what would have happened to me in my life. If God hadn't moved into my life to restrain me from the capacities I had for the wrong kinds of things, I fear to think of where I would be today. The fact of the matter is, I think I would have been dead long ago. The capacity that all of us have within us to destroy our own lives, yes or no? And then God intervenes miraculously to restrain that and to set us free from these destructive things in our lives. In a life that would be self-engaged and self-indulged and self-destructive turns out being a life of selflessness and blessing. It was for freedom Christ set us free. And true freedom is the ability to be engaged in what is right and enjoy every minute of it. That's true freedom. To be engaged in that which is good and constructive and love every minute of it. To be able with joy and zeal to go into life and not be chained to the lusts and the passions and those destructive desires that are defeated through the work of the cross. Just an amazing thing that God has done for us. Jesus said, do this. Remember me when you do this. No freedom without him. There's no national freedom without him, and that's why we are losing our freedoms, because he's being put outside. You throw God out and freedom goes with it. We've got well, over 1 million laws on the books in this country now. You can't live with freedom with all those laws and regulations. The freedom's gone. And that's because the power of God in restraining the inner self through new birth and regeneration is gone in the hearts of so many. Now, there are a lot of godly people around yet, and thank God for that. A lot of people that love the Lord in our country. And who are where you and I are, we love God and our lives have been dramatically impacted by the gospel. But what a wonderful Savior. God gloriously intervened in human history, right in the middle of it, not at the beginning of it and not at the end of it, but right in the middle of it. And he intervened in order that he might save us from our sin and its bondage. And all that's involved in it. Wonderful Savior. And how do we respond to this individually? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Keep standing firm. Don't be ensnared again to a yoke of slavery. The first response would be this. If you are not a born-again believing child of God, if you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the first response ought to be, thank you, God, you love me, you recognize my need, you recognize my guilt, and you included me in the death of your Son so that my sin debt might be paid through the work of the cross. And you did that for me, and then he rose again from the dead. You raised him from the dead, a living Savior. My response is, Lord Jesus, come now and save me. The Apostle Paul knew the history of the whole thing, but God met him on the Damascus Road. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that God leaned over the battlements of heaven with a heavenly baseball bat and hit him over the head. He got his attention. Who are you, Lord? Well, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Oh. And Paul was converted on the Damascus Road. There is no better response to the death of Jesus Christ than to receive him as your Savior. That's where it all begins. Secondly, we need to have confidence in his works of salvation. His death on the cross was infinite. It was eternal, and we were included in it. And there's nothing more left to do. It's all been done. And we need to just rest in a finished, completed, all-sufficient work. Yeah? And thank the Lord and rejoice in what He has done. We need to have confidence that as we walk with God, and we have these struggles in our lives, all of us struggle with sin in our lives, and we need to have confidence that ultimately through the work of the cross, we are going to be victorious totally before it's all done. There needs to be confidence that God is at work. He begins with the work of the cross and He continues to work in our lives day by day. That it should be also a total personal commitment to Him. Romans chapter 11 ends with these wonderful words, out from Him, of Him, originating from Him, and continuing through Him, and consummating in Him, to Him are all things. And we need to understand that we came out of God, we go back into God as believers, and everything in between is sustained by His wonderful grace in our lives. And we just need to be totally committed to Him. We need to embrace Him as our God in everything. Not just God of part of us. Some Christians spend their whole lives just dating God. They never get married. Huh? Yes or no? Some Christians spend their whole lives dating God. Never get married. Never make a commitment. They never really embrace Him. Have you done that? We come to this table. What did He give for us? Everything. What do we need from Him? Everything. What is there apart from Him? Nothing. We ought to get married. See? So, we need to realize that there is no other way for men to be saved or delivered. There is no other way for a society to rise again above the ravages of the curse. There's no way for a nation to prosper without God. It doesn't exist. Don't complain about your taxes. 90% of them are sin taxes. Can I repeat that? 90% of our taxes pay for sins. They pay for things that people do they ought not to do. Yes or no? Sin taxes. We need to know that there's no way for our nation to prosper in any way without God. There needs to be an awareness of the enslaving nature of the material prosperity in which we find ourselves. We start living for things. God gives us things, and then instead of worshiping the God that gives us these things, we worship the things. That happens all the time. We begin living. Are you living today for the American dream? That's idolatry. That's looking to material things to provide for your life what only God can provide. Now, God will give us material things. They're part of His benefits to us. They need to be received with gratefulness, and they need to be enjoyed, but not worshipped. The end that we have in mind is the glory of God. And finally, we look at this, we meet around this table. There's only one thing that God did in human history to bring mankind out of his sin. Mankind as individuals, mankind as families, mankind as nations. There's one thing in human history he did. He sent his son, he came in the person of his son, and he gave himself in total commitment to us on the cross. And we need to respond in kind. And beyond that, we need to have a great commitment to and a confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can say anything you want about the city in which we live, but the greatest need, the greatest lacking ingredient in the city of San Francisco today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest need. That is the greatest need to the children, to the elderly, every segment of the community here, regardless of what their reputation is. The answer is the gospel. And it is the only answer. Nothing else can replace the gospel. There is no other substitute for the gospel. This service is a message. As often as you eat this bread, you drink this cup, you are making an exposition. You are making a proclamation of the death of Jesus Christ until His return. And he is coming back again. So this is a very meaningful service. It brings us to the great heart of God, the great design of God to provide for those whom he loves. And we need to open our hearts toward him and love him and serve him with zeal and joy. Yes. And gospelize everywhere we go. And stop dating God. Get married. That's what we need to do.